Good afternoon. I will call this meeting of the Senate Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect. It's 3:58 p.m. on Monday, April 4th. Apologies. We had a couple of budget subcommittee closeouts that we, Senator Stevens and I, just left. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum today. Senator Gary Stevens, Senator Natasha Von Imhoff, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Machicki. Welcome, Representative Kronk and Senator Myers, to Resources Today. Our Resources Committee aide is Inti Harbison. Our LIO moderator is Nate Williams. And Juliana Singh is here from Records. Thanks for being here. At this time, please turn off your cell phones. Those of you on Teams, please remain muted until it's your turn to speak. Today's agenda consists of four items: Senate Bill 85, Forest Land Use Plans, Timber Sales; Senate Bill 223, Confidentiality of Animal Records; HB 148, Alaska Coordinate System of 2022, and HB 209, Emergency Firefighters. We are going to begin with Senate Bill 85. It's the second time this bill has been before the committee this session. We'll dive right into a brief refresher from the department, take any amendments members may have, and then look to the will of the committee. On Teams today, we have Helgi Eng, Director, Division of Forestry. And I probably said both names incorrectly. Mr. Eng, please put yourself on the record and begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Ebuck. This is Helgi Eng, Director of the Division of Forestry within the Department of Natural Resources. And thank you, Chair Ebuck and committee members, for the opportunity to discuss Senate Bill 85. I'd like to touch briefly on the motivation for the bill, which is really to support a viable timber industry in the state. In July 16, 2021, the U.S. Department of Agriculture stated that the harvest of old-growth timber from the Tongass National Forest would cease immediately. And needless to say, this sudden stop to old timber harvest from the Tongass National Forest severely impacted the timber industry in Southeast Alaska, an industry that has relied on a steady supply of timber from the Tongass National Forest for quite some time, and now found themselves without a reliable supply of raw material. By direction from the governor, the state is responding by increasing the availability of timber from state lands. And in that context, this bill is looking for ways to help stabilize and secure the industry by making the timber sale process more flexible and efficient for purchasers. And I'm just going to give you a quick overview of the major elements of the bill, and be happy to entertain questions and discussions of the details. But essentially, there are two major elements of Senate Bill 85. The first is that approved forest land use plans cannot be appealed. This would be Section 4 in the bill. And the intent is to provide contractual certainty to timber operators. They appeal can halt harvesting, which can be disastrous to a small logging company. They typically do not have the resources to idle equipment for months while an appeal is running its course. And Senate Bill 85 ensures that once the decision has been made to sell the timber, no further administrative appeals can occur. Clearly, the public input process remains. Only the appeals option would be eliminated. Input would still be gathered from the public and agencies and acted upon. And in fact, quite often, or most often, Division of Forestry acts on and implements requests from the public before they even get to the appeal stage. It's very common for public input to result in modifications to a timber sale. And given that there are, in fact, four opportunities for appeals during the life of a timber sale, so to speak, during the planning process, this bill aims to streamline an arguably somewhat rich common process. Specifically, there are area plans, state forest plans, five-year schedule of timber sales, best interest findings, and of course the five-year or the forest land use plan. The second element of the bill is allowing for export of negotiated timber sales. Competitive timber sales are already available for export. And just a quick review, there are two types of timber sales, competitive and negotiated. And competitive, as the name implies, is the typical auction format where the sale is sold to the highest bidder, usually in a anonymous format where sealed bids are submitted. They could also be an open bid process. Negotiated sales allows the division to choose a timber purchaser, not only based on price, the highest bid, but also on the number of local jobs that the sale provides, for example, other factors. And might note that certainly local Southeast Alaska operators are not typically able to outbid larger out-of-state timber companies for competitive sales. So there really is a need for a consistent negotiated timber sale process to provide that consistent timber supply to keep the local industry thriving. So negotiated sales are an integral part of our toolkit, and this bill will change the negotiated timber sale statutes to allow local industry to sell all the timber harvest as export is needed. Currently, negotiated timber sales must be sold for local manufacturer, not export. But a constantly changing timber supply with more young growth means that some sizes of timber are not marketable in Alaska, and the demand for certain species such as hemlock is primarily overseas or in the Pacific Northwest. And I think with that, I'll leave the general overview with the two major elements, the flop appeal elimination and the negotiated timber sale export, and be happy to answer questions or delve into more details on other elements of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Ang. Appreciate it very much. Questions, Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. How do you decide whether a timber sale is going to be competitive or negotiated?
Through the chair, I didn't catch who the question was from.
I'm sorry, Senator Stevens. And the question is, how do you decide whether a timber sale is going to be competitive or negotiated?
Good question. We look at the number of bidders, and most often we do in fact have competitive sales. We look at things like the number of bidders, the type of timber sale, and the need for timber sales by various timber operators to stay in business, so to speak. There is an element of the bill in Section 2 that outlines a list of, I believe it's 6 criteria that the commissioner will consider in determining the type of sale. But that's only an example of the considerations. The commissioner has the ability to look at that, a range of criteria, including, in addition to these six, local economic stability and the best interest of the Alaska timber industry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Ng. I understand we have some amendments to the bill. I will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move.
I think we have one first from Senator Keel.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment A.1, which you'll see is by Senator Kawasaki. He's not able to be with us today, so I'm carrying this one by request. So anyway, I'll move amendment A.1.
I'll object for purposes of discussion, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The impact of this amendment is to require some additional factors to be in a best interest finding when the state does a timber disposal that is subject to one. It doesn't require any new best interest findings, but when the state has to do a best interest finding, this would require the department to consider whether the bidder or buyer, to the maximum extent permitted by law, commits to hire qualified residents from throughout the state, to contract with businesses located in the state, establish hiring facilities or use existing ones in the state, and use, to the extent they can, job centers and other services the Department of Labor has, just to help promote Alaska hire.
Thank you. Any questions? Actually, I have a question for Mr. Ng. Just how does that impact the process, Mr. Ng, this amendment?
Through the chair, the process is able to accommodate this. I would mention that the commissioner already, under existing statute, can consider all these elements and any others. And so arguably one could mention that it may not be necessary to spell out a list of criteria, and that in terms of maintaining flexibility for the state and avoid exposure to challenges, it may be better to leave it general.
Thank you.
Another comment that I would make, and I may not fully understand the amendment, is that a best interest finding is made in order to determine what type of sale to offer. So at the best interest finding stage, we have not yet decided on a buyer. So it would be difficult to determine whether buyers on a competitive sale would meet criteria 1 through 4.
Thank you, Mr. Ng. Senator Keel, you're just for legislative intent, your language simply says shall consider. It doesn't constrain the department to these factors. It certainly, just the way that I read the amendment, seems to suggest that it's important to us, and we would like for them to make their best effort to put Alaskans first in their best interest finding considerations. Is that your understanding?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's well said, right? That doesn't change the Constitution to require Alaska hire of every contractor for every sale, but these tend to be pretty extensive analytical documents, and so I think a hard look at whether Alaska hire can be included in these various ways will fit in there and push toward that as the department sets up the sales to come.
Thank you. With that, I'll remove my objection to Amendment Number 132-GS1607/A1. Are there any further objections? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Amendment number two, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number two, G32-GS1607/A.2.
I will object for the purposes of discussion. And Mr. Harbison, I believe, is going to speak to that amendment.
Yes, because I don't understand it, so he is going to speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. As Senator Stevens has stated, this is not his amendment. This is a committee amendment. It is our understanding, I apologize for the record, into my Harbison staff to Senator Reback. It is our understanding that the section of the regulation addressed by Section 2 has been amended by the department to render Section 2 of this bill moot. So we have put forward an amendment to simply strike Section 2 from the bill.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, we have a question from Senator Von Imhoff.
Can you repeat that one more time? You're striking whole section number two, even when the person on the line just said that it was section number two was helping determine the type of sale, whether it's competitive or negotiated, and you're striking it. Why?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that is correct. And perhaps the department can speak to this more thoroughly, but it is our understanding that the regulations addressed in Section 2 have been changed by the department, and so that section of the bill is redundant and no longer necessary.
Mr. Eng, would you like to briefly comment on that, what Mr. Harbison just said?
Through the chair, yes. Section 110 already allows the commissioner to consider any and all factors that she considers relevant in determining the kind of sale to bring forward. So the logic behind striking Section 2 is, again, that it's better to keep it general and allow flexibility in these considerations. In other words, it's not needed to spell out specific factors, and it may in fact serve as a venue for challenges to a timber sale to have prescriptive requirements out there. So that would be the logic behind striking Section 2.
Thank you very much for that explanation, other than our statement of support for Alaska Hire where possible. With that, I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections to adopting amendment number 32-GS1607/A2? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. The committee now has Senate Bill 85 as amended before us. I don't see any further amendments. Is there further discussion? Senator Keel.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I know the committee plans to move the bill today, and I'm not gonna try and slow it down. I still have a pretty significant concern about one of the pieces at the heart of the bill, and I just thought I'd mention it on the record. Ultimately, delaying when a forest land use plan has to be in place relative to a sale and making it not appealable is problematic to me. I know that there are hypothetically four opportunities for comment, but I looked up the area land plan for my part of the state. It hasn't been changed in 20 years. The state forest plans I looked at around my district haven't been changed in 20 years. It's not exactly a sale-by-sale analysis. And ultimately, when we think back to the original presentation on the bill, if DNR can't see far enough back up into the various valleys and watersheds of a timber sale to design the land use plan, then the public can't see far enough back up in there to give them meaningful comments on it yet. So I think it goes farther than we need to. There's good provisions in the bill, more flexibility for the small sales, little negotiated amendments to existing sales. I think those are good. But I wanted to make sure that that concern was on record as we let it go today.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Appreciate your perspective on that issue. With that, I will entertain a motion. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill 85, version 32-GS1607/A, be moved from committee as amended with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 85, version A, is moved from committee as amended with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Please remain in the room to sign the paperwork after today's meeting. We started late, so we'll run as efficiently as possible. Next, we'll move on to Senate Bill 223. Second hearing for this bill. Committee's worked with the bill sponsor on a CS to make a few minor changes and improve the bill. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that I move the CS for Senate Bill 223, resources version 32-SL1574/V, be adopted as our working document.
I will object for purposes of discussion. Senator Myers and staff Michaela Anderson are here to discuss the explanation of changes between versions A and B. Please come forward, put yourselves on the record, and begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Robert Myers, Senator for District B. Thank the committee for putting the bill back before us, and I would like to defer to my staff, Chief of Staff Michaela Anderson, for an explanation.
For the record, Michaela Anderson, Chief of Staff to Senator Robert Myers. We have an explanation of changes. It basically goes in order of the bill as we received a working CS proposal from the House that brings us to an identical version that was adopted by House Resources that was worked on by the stakeholders as well as DEC. So Section 1, confidentiality of certain information exceptions. 1, removes notwithstanding AS 0305010A2, reference regarding duties of the Commissioner and the Department of Natural Resources requirement to procure and preserve all information pertaining to developing the agricultural industry in the state and disseminate that information to the public. 2, adds regional health corporation to other agencies that the Department of Environmental Conservation may disclose information to if the department determines that there is a health or safety threat to animals or the public and disclosure of information is necessary to address that threat. 3, clarifies that notwithstanding the confidentiality of certain information established in AS 0305084A, the Department of Environmental Conservation shall publicly disclose records rather than information. 4, removes the clause that if the Department of Environmental Conservation discloses information under the section mentioned before, 0305084B, the Department of Natural Resources shall disclose the information to the public due to redundancy in both departments disclosing information. And 5, adds business in regard to prevention of publicly disclosed records identifying particular animal, individual, or business.
Thank you. Any questions? With that, I'll remove my objection. Are there any further objections to the CS? Seeing none, Senate Bill 223, version B, is adopted as a working document and is now before the committee. Is there further discussion on SB 223?
One quick comment.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was discussion in the first hearing about what makes these businesses different than all other businesses. And in conversations with the sponsor and advocates for the bill, the key thing to my way of thinking is that these records aren't just business records. These also apply to people's pets. And that strikes me as an important distinction and reason to pass the bill. I think when you come into households, it's different. So this makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Seeing no further discussion, I will entertain a motion. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the CS for Senate Bill 223 Resources version 32-SL1574/B be moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 223, version B, is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. please, we'll have that on our list of documents to sign at the end of the meeting. Thank you, Senator Myers and Michaela. Next, we'll take up HB 148. Here to present, we have Brief Deeds. Williams, staff to Representative Shaw, put yourself on the record and begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Reese Williams, staff to Representative Laddie Shaw. He apologizes for not being able to be here right now. He's in a budget meeting. So even though this bill sounds pretty complicated, HB 148 is actually very simple. All we're looking to do is revise Alaska Statute 38.20, known as the Alaska Coordinate System, to reflect changes in the upcoming federal state plan coordinate system of 2022, allow for future updates. So I did mention the federal datum earlier, and the big question is, Bill, is what is a datum? A geodetic datum, or simply a datum, is a tool used to define the shape and size of the Earth, as well as the reference point for the various coordinate systems used in mapping. Datums are used in navigation, mapping, as well as satellite navigation systems. The most recent federal datums were the North American Datum of 1983, the North American Vertical Datum of 1988. A good explanation from NOAA's website of what datum is. Datums act like starting points when you give some directions. For instance, when you want to tell someone how to get to your house, you give them a starting point that they know, crossroads or an address. Datums act in a very similar way. We have a brief video from NOAA's website that can kind of help clear up some of the technical terms.
Surveying today relies heavily on the Global Positioning System, GPS, or similar systems from other countries, collectively known as global navigation satellite systems. Today's satellite-based technology can help people determine accurate positions and elevations more efficiently than in the past. The benefits of using GPS to determine accurate positions and elevations will be even greater when NGS defines new datums. Let's take a look at the planned new datums and some of their expected benefits. Horizontal positions are currently defined by the North American Datum of 1983, or NAD 83. This will be replaced by a new geometric datum, which provides latitude, longitude, height, and time information. Vertical positions or elevations are currently defined by the North American Vertical Datum of 1988, or NAVD 88. This will be replaced with a new vertical or geopotential datum. The new datums will help lessen the impact of aging physical infrastructure, like marks, that currently help define NAD 83 and NAVD 88. The new geometric datum that will replace NAD 83 will rely completely on reference stations that continuously receive GPS information. NGS maintains the CORS network, which stands for Continuously Operating Reference Stations. Users can reference CORS to help accurately determine any geometric position, which includes latitude, longitude, and some elevation information. CORS provides elevation information computed using an ellipsoid model of the Earth. An ellipsoid can be used as a rough approximation of the shape of the Earth. However, we know that the Earth is not shaped like a perfect ellipsoid. As a result, we need another model, one that reflects the varied topography of the Earth, including features such as mountains and valleys. This new model, called a geoid, is based on the variations in gravity across the Earth's surface. The geoid model is the basis for the new vertical or geopotential datum. This new datum will combine the ellipsoid height and the geoid height at the same point to calculate its elevation. To help improve accuracy of the new vertical datum, NGS is completing a major project called Gravity for the Redefinition of the American Vertical Datum, or GRAV-D. NGS is flying over the entire U.S. and collecting a unique, continuous gravity data set that will help us build a better geoid model, which will improve the accuracy of elevations measured using GPS technology. When the new datums are adopted, positioning information for existing structures and marks will change. The scale of the change will vary depending on your location, ranging from 0.5 to 1.5 meters in a horizontal direction and 0 to 1.3 meters in elevation. These changes, based on our newest positioning technology and scientific knowledge, will provide more accurate positioning information. They will have impacts in areas ranging from transportation, construction, floodplain mapping, agriculture, and more. Even though the change is years away, the time to prepare is now. While tools will be available to facilitate the transformation of specific position information, it can take years to change products, services, or databases. You may want to begin examining current databases and records that may be impacted and plan for the effort required to update. In addition, many state and other governmental entities passed laws requiring that public works or maps reference NAD 83 or NABD 88. Those laws or contracts will need to be changed to reflect the new datum. Starting to plan now will help you be well positioned for the change. Resources are available and continue to be developed by NOAA's National Geodetic Survey.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Are there any questions at this time? Do you have additional information for us?
I would note we do have some people for invited testimony, and Gwen Gervalis, the chief surveyor from Department of Natural Resources, online for any questions.
Okay. We're now going to move to invited testimony on HB 148. We have Jake Maxwell from APDC. As well as, we'll begin with Mr. Maxwell. Mr. Maxwell, can you please put yourself on the record and provide your testimony?
Yes, through the chair. Good afternoon. My name is Jake Maxwell. I'm representing the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors to show our support of House Bill 148. I'd like to request that the bill be moved forward so surveyors and other professionals can use this updated coordinate system. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Maxwell. Any questions for Mr. Maxwell? I have just one. We talked about the 1.3 meter potential change. Are we going to be moving fences in the near future or anything like that? Is that what is the practical application for the homeowner or landowner?
There would be no significant impact to landowners. It's just going to refine that coordinate system that that the land is referenced to.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no other questions, now we're moving on to Gwen Gervalis, the chief surveyor for the DNR. Ms. Gervalis, please put yourself on the record and begin when you're ready.
Chairman Michinki, for the record, my name is Gwen Gervalis. I'm the chief surveyor for the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and the state's geodetic coordinator, and I am available to answer any questions, technical questions in regards to this bill.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Seeing none, thanks for being here, Ms. Gervalis. We are now going to move on to public testimony for HB 148, and we didn't say it on the record earlier, but we had previously had public testimony for Senate Bill 85 and Senate Bill 223 in other meetings. So I'm going to open public testimony for HB 148. Public testimony is now open. I see one person online. Do we have anyone in the room wishing to testify on HB 148? Seeing none, that brings us online to Kelsey Davidson from the Alaska Professional Design Council. Please state your name for the record and provide your testimony.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Michinki and members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Kelsey Davidson. I'm the current president of the Alaska Professional Design Council, APDC. I'm testifying today in support of House Bill 148. The Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors is one of the affiliate members of APDC. And the professionals represented by this organization require the modernized and more functional coordinate system to be incorporated into statute in order for them to utilize the system in their practice. APDC also provided a letter of support in 2021 for House Bill 148, and that's included in your bill packet. Thank you for your time today to consider my testimony, and I ask that you support and pass House Bill 148. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davidson. Any questions? Seeing none and seeing no one else wanting to testify on HB 148, I'm going to close public testimony at this time. Is there any further discussion from the committee on HB 148? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the House Bill 148 AM version 32-LS0407/A.A be moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, thank you, Senator. Seeing no objections, HB 148 version A.A is moved from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Thank you. Appreciate you being here today.
Thank you very much.
Last today, we have HB 209 here to present today. We have the middle name from the team McCronkatuck, Representative Gronk, good to see you, and staff Sue Stancliffe. Please put yourselves on the records and begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Resources Committee. For the record, Mike Gronk, Representative House District 6. HB 209 authorizes the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources to hire emergency firefighter personnel using general fund appropriations. By amending AS 41.15.030B, allowing the use of general funds to pay EFF personnel, they would be able to perform non-emergency work such as hazardous fuel reduction, fuel break development, fire prevention, habitat restoration, or improvement activities in fire-prone areas. In addition, this would provide economic opportunities for Alaskans to empower rural Alaskans. It allows the department to responsibly manage the state's natural resources and enhances public safety to protect and save human lives. Such non-emergency work could reduce the likelihood, intensity, and damage of wildland fires near populated areas and could bring significant reductions in the state's cost to fight future fires. By employing EFFs during non-emergencies, it would provide training, fitness, and readiness for when a wildfire does occur. The number of EFF personnel that may be interested in applying for a permanent DNR job would increase, which would help in the recruitment. Based on the legislative history, amending AS 41.15.030B's last sentence does not appear to yield any constitutional or legal problems. In 1996, the legislature added the last sentence to address concerns of conflict with the Alaska Personnel Act, specifically that short-term non-permanent employees would become full-time employees. However, in 2000, the legislature amended the APA to allow for long-term non-permanent employees. Due to that amendment, the apparent concerns expressed by the legislature in 1996 warranting the inclusion of the last sentence no longer exists. And with that, we are willing to take any questions you may have.
Questions for Representative Kronk? Thank you, Representative. Seeing no questions, appreciate you being here as well. We're going to move on to invited testimony on HB 209. With us, we have Norm McDonald from the Department of Natural Resources. Mr. McDonald, please provide your invited testimony. Put yourself on the record first, please.
All right, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
All righty. Good afternoon, Chairman McKechnie and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Norm McDonald. I'm the Chief of Fire and Aviation, the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Forestry. I thank you for the opportunity to speak today about the Division of Forestry support of House Bill 209. This bill is a manifestation of Alaska's need to build firefighting capacity as we face a rapidly increasing wildland fire challenge. House Bill 209 will help the Division's fire program achieve our primary mission of protecting Alaskans from wildland fires and reducing their catastrophic impacts through hazardous fuels mitigation. This bill also provides jobs and training for rural Alaskans throughout fire-prone areas of the state. As Representative Kronk explained, removing the funding impediment in Alaska Statute 41.15.030 would allow DNR to use already allocated general funds to pay emergency firefighters for non-emergency fire prevention work during periods of low fire activity. This is a benefit in two ways. First is non-emergency fire prevention work. For an example, that's cutting down trees to create fuel breaks, provides an ideal training ground for EFF employees to learn valuable crossover firefighting skills, and will also create consistent and desirable jobs for rural Alaskans. Currently, when fire danger decreases, DOF must lay off the EFF crews, and as a result, crew work has become an unpredictable and unstable job. Many of the firefighters from rural communities have chosen to find more consistent employment elsewhere. Secondly, we can leverage this workforce to improve our ability to build fire breaks around communities and prevent and moderate wildfires should they occur, saving potentially tens of millions of dollars in future fire suppression costs. So one note, while this bill allows general funds to be used for EFF and non-emergency tasks, we would only use funds already appropriated for fuels reduction and prevention work, thus the zero fiscal note. In the last 2 years, DOF has received allocations for hazardous fuels reductions from the state, and we continue to receive additional federal funds for fuels mitigation. Both sources of funding will be used to pay for EFF work, which will be limited to fire suppression and fire prevention-related activities. DOF currently does not have sufficient personnel to staff for both fire suppression and fuels reduction. The lack of consistent work for the EFF crews has resulted in a drastic decline in the numbers from approximately 56 crews in 2010 to under 8 in 2021. The division is now critically understaffed, and we rely on importing War 48 crews to replace these important EFF resources. There's several problems with this. Number one is lower 48 crews are not readily available. Alaska, we compete with every other state for these crews, and during high fire activity in the lower 48, Alaska may not be the priority. Response times can be as long as 72 hours. A quick, aggressive initial attack with local forces is what limits fire size and duration and reducing overall fire costs. And third, the cost to import firefighters far exceeds that of using Alaska resources. On a fire assignment, a 22-person Alaskan crew costs roughly $6,500 a day, where a similar 22-person Lower 48 crew costs more than twice that at $13,500 a day. So House Bill 209 will help us rebuild our EFF fire crews to create a self-sufficient Alaskan firefighting force. It will reduce the likelihood, intensity, and damage of the wildland fires near populated areas, and will reduce the state's firefighting costs. House Bill 209 dovetails perfectly with the division's request and the governor's budget to reinstate the Wildland Fire Academy. So our intent is focusing on workforce development and building back Alaska's wildland firefighting crews. Training firefighters in rural communities will help build a pool of recruits to work on both fuels projects and fire suppression that provides secure employment, strengthens local economies, and enhances public safety. So again, thank you for this opportunity today, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Committee members, any questions for Mr. McDonald? Senator Stevens.
So, Mr. McDonald, so when, often in, if we have a low fire season here, not much going on, we loan our folks out to other states, is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that is correct. When we are past the Alaskan traditional fire season and our indices are at a level where we feel comfortable, we do share our resources with the lower 48 when they are in need.
So there's no competition between when you're simply doing fuel reduction and loaning crews out. I mean, that doesn't create a conflict for you.
It does not. But I mean, we prioritize life safety, and when the lower 48 is in seasons like they've had the last couple of years, we will support them with every resource that we have available, including the EFF crews, and we've done that over the last 40 years. That would not stop.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Seeing no other questions from Mr. McDonald, we also have Allison Arians, Division of Forestry Special Projects Coordinator. Do any committee members have questions for Allison? Seeing none, any other questions from committee? We'll now move on to public testimony for HB 209. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on HB 209? Seeing no one, I don't see anyone online for testimony either. Nope. With no one available to testify, I'm closing public testimony on HB 209. Seeing no further discussion on the bill, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move that the CS for House Bill 209 Finance version 32-LS0929/B be moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, HB 209 Finance version B is moved from committee with attached committee fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Thank you, committee members, for being here and for your attention. Please stick around to sign the paperwork. Thank you to presenters as well as the committee, LAO support staff, and Senate pages who helped with today's meeting. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Wednesday, April 6th, where we plan to review the AGDC LNG presentation and Senate Bill 228 at Outstanding National Resource Meeting or Water. This meeting is now adjourned at 4:44 p.m.